It is Wednesday, my dudes. I'm not going to yell into a mirror in a Spider-Man costume, but if you haven't seen that Vine, it's phenomenal. It gets me through some Wednesdays. So welcome back. We're going to be, talking about just a whole smattering of things. I'm on YouTube, a little bit on a break right now from some work, and I wanted to have a rant for a second because there's this new culture of, striving to get very petty recognition online, and that's obviously not something exclusively new, because everyone always wants their, 15 minutes or seconds on the internet of fame. But on YouTube, you'll see a video, I'm watching a playthrough of a game, or a walkthrough or something, and the comment will be whatever it says, this game is so funny, I quit my job at this place, and then it shows you that it's been edited, and, the edit is, the person saying, oh my god, so many likes, thank you guys so much, Jesus fucking Christ, everyone is just, got their hand out for something, man. It's just, the comment sections of anywhere are just so sad, and then cringy, and terrible. It's, the same jokes, everyone rushes to make the same, very obvious joke, and then everyone has those really stupid, obvious responses, and some people don't understand how the internet works, and they write, huge paragraphs, and some people just copy-paste the local, copy-paste a meme comment thing going around, when they introduce the ability to expand the comment, the read more thing, people will be this person's secret name is, and then it's read more, and then be gotcha, yeah, so, I don't know, sometimes, especially if it's, a help video, or a how-to, or something, you find yourself browsing the comments section, and then it's just such garbage now. Anyway, I promise I won't be as complainy for the duration of the video. I wanted to do a suggestion for a sort of story I'd worked on a couple of years ago I was very interested in, because, as I mentioned last time in the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood episode, that I'm a big fan of interesting history stories and kind of revisionist history tales, and so I had a story that takes place during World War II, because if I'm ever gonna if I'm ever gonna make a movie, it's gonna be about that. It's in the Pacific Theater, so it's gonna be on a small island. I had a map of all the islands, and I'm just gonna say it's near Guam. It's island 33, 36, 35. It's the island designations for the Guam adjacent islands. I think Guam was 35. The Caroline Islands or something. It's east of the Philippines. Anyway, the story goes that there's a mystery being investigated by a squad of U.S. Rangers. I like Rangers the most. I think all of the U.S. armed forces, especially in the Second World War, kicked ass, and they were awesome, and I just had a special attachment to them because there was a video game, Empire's Dawn of the Modern World, which was amazing. I'm trying to procure it so we can kind of have a playthrough of some kind with you guys, because it's one of the best RTSs I've ever played. It lets you take your people from very early kind of medieval stage to the Second World War. So it doesn't quite go to that place that a similar games go to, where you get to the future and that's kind of the end, because it tips the scale so much. It does, obviously. It's a huge hindrance to be an age behind. But not only are those your starting and ending points, but there's very satisfying in-betweens. You get sort of a gilded imperial age of the 17, 1800s, and it's great. I think there is the First World War. The 10s to the 30s, almost, it would be the 10s to the 20s. I mean, we're not the war, but socioeconomically and in terms of the culture, but it's an amazing game, and I used to play the United States, which was interesting because you could play essentially two races, or cultures, I should say. And I say races interchangeably in RTSs, but you chose a starting civilization, so these are ones that existed classically. So you have the European ones, and I think that there were I want to say there was a Chinese one. I think I remember that. It was a long time ago. It was a birthday present from, an age when I was very young and living at home and computer gaming. The golden years, as I'm sure everyone remembers it. So I had a choice you get when I think you're about to enter the First World War era of time, where they say, like, oh, your civilization has advanced to so-and-so, and you're going to shape yourself in the likeness of or something or follow it, and then you choose again. So if you were China, you could choose, like, America or Germany or something, or Russia, I think. Because there were a couple Axis countries. There were Germany, obviously. I think Russia, Axis in quotes, because they kind of they turned it halfway, you know, much to everyone's benefit. Thanks, Russia. And then I think for like a lot of the European ones, you can choose to advance into England as is, or become the United States, or I think France exists in the classical and the contemporary. I think you can have like, yeah, they were cool actually. I remember them. They were very like the niche kind of civilization, like a lot of archers that could hide in forests and like surveillance vans, and like when you think of the World War II. In Howling Commando style of French saboteurs, that kind of thing. Anyway, that was a little too much off topic on empires, but Dawn of the Modern World, I'm going to get it, play it, you guys should check it out. If I'm not selling it enough, wait till I play it through again, because, oh yeah, you can zoom in to like battlefield view, which is really cool, because everyone's, you know, for the time, probably not now, it doesn't look so good, but everyone very textured and rendered well, and it was pretty cool to get that sort of cinematic look. And General George S. Patton, a personal hero, weirdly enough, is like a growing up a Jewish kid in Canada, but just the over-the-top sort of charisma and machismo of this like character, this larger-than-life dude who was not all, you know, show. He was actually like a brilliant strategic mind and a fearless soldier and a scholar and a poet and like just interesting guy. I'll have a Patton episode soon. I actually own his autobiography, The War as I Knew It. I think so. It was a gift. Anyway, you play a Patton campaign, which was pretty cool. Not a lot of games offer you that, and in it you're supported heavily by the Rangers, like the 75th Ranger Regiment. So, was it? I don't know. It was, like the Battle of Kasserine Pass and stuff in Italy and North Africa. Anyway, that brings us to today. So, I want it to be a squad of Rangers. Rangers lead the way. Sounds cool. But they're going to be working with a nautical detachment to get them to the island, because some of them will be dropped in originally as a scout party. And then those Rangers will be supported by either, if they have like a water version, otherwise it'll be, it could just be the U.S. Navy, it could be OSS could be there. I want it to be an allied presence. I think that's always more engaging than if it's just all like Americans or Brits or something. So obviously we can have like a French comms expert and like, and I don't know, we'll have a Jewish guy in there somewhere too, be like ammunition or something, I don't know. Yeah, so you had a distress call, basically, from this village, and it was encrypted, but it was, like, claiming, there was, like, gunfire and explosions and strangeness and oddities, and there was no reported Allied presence there, so obviously they knew this was either, like, a Japanese station or training camp or something. So, we have these scouts originally, and there's like maybe seven of them. They're landing in there. They go by air. It's very, I want it to be that kind of Predators. Like, they land in the jungle, and it's like, it may as well be another planet, you know, an alien jungle. It's very spooky, and there's like a thick fog permeating everywhere. And they've referenced it a couple times as, like, the boiled island, because there's always, like, steam. It's warm, it's not steam, it's just there's, like, a thick, dense fog all the time. And they hear, like, a lot of clamor, and eventually they get to, like, this small town, and it's getting pretty dark now, and so, like, they need to map out the terrain and get their bearings. I think they had, like, couple days on this op. It's not like get in and get out. They're just sleeping on the job. But they have an opportunity to, I guess, take shelter in a local person's home. And so they're, it looks like maybe like the mayor or something, like someone well-to-do. And this is a very small village. And they can see people, and the people look kind of, I guess, shook by the war. I mean, they seem kind of off, as they would be, living here anyway. So all their rooms seem to have, like, large, I guess, deities, like whatever it is for the local religion. But, like, humanoid-ish statues, I guess. And so, like, they're on watch. And eventually, I guess it's, like, the rain, or maybe just the something in the smoke, fog, they all fall asleep. And when they wake up, like, all the statues are gone. And in the, like, the weak sunlight, they can see that most of the village is gone. And, like, it looks like cobweb style. Like, nobody had been there for, like, a super long time. None of their stuff is immediately, like, missing or misplaced or anything, but they seem to have lost, obviously, like, maps, and compasses don't seem to be working, and it's very, like, you know, very alone in the woods. And we're going to have just maybe, like, a little bit of that, because I don't want, you know, it's not the Blair Witch Project, but eventually they get to what looks like a camp, like a setup, and they find the people in there, and, like, it looks like, it looks from a distance like it's normal and everything. As they get closer, you know, they're not quite putting it together until, like, they're at the point and they literally, like, see that it's either, I don't know, I was going to go with, like, zombies, or they're fucked up, or they're mutated or something, or it's actually them. I'm not sure. But then after the confrontation that happens, they find that it's, like, this is all the result of this establishment, or sorry, this installation here, which is a base that's part of this thing called Unit 731, which unto itself is really sad, and I don't want to be insensitive about it. And it's a Japanese war crime condemned department, or I don't know, regiment that was in charge of, like, human experimentation during World War II. So, like, fuck those guys. Does some gross shit, and, you know, they can enjoy the whatever religiously applicable version of hell they want to take themselves to, but I just think we'll use it, like, the same way Hydra is involved with the Nazis. Like, there's, like, an element of the supernatural we can kind of pick out of here without being insensitive, but they've been, you know, experimenting on people, and they've been, a lot of the smoke is the result of them boiling and, like, activating this mineral. And so we're seeing, like, you know, they break into the base. Before they do, they meet with a group that they're about to shoot, and the group's about to, like, attack them, because they're all, like, wearing, like, armor and all crazy shit, and it turns out that they're people, they're, like, Japanese dudes who were, I don't know, it's not clear yet if they were, like, experimented on, or if they escaped, or they're, how they got there, but they're, like, rocking a Mad Max samurai-style outfit for all of them, and it looks really, looks tight. I've crudely and terribly sketched it out, and take my word for it at that, if nothing else. So their two combined teams manage to kind of infiltrate the base, get information, and they're getting, I don't know, I guess they get all the proof and stuff, and they steal samples, and they manage to, like, boat away to another island that's, like, not too far away. Like a small little, like a sandbar, a spit of land. And you can see they're all kind of set up, and they're on the defense, but they're trying to broadcast out, and they're all, like, kind of uneasily celebrating their escape. And then we can see as they're broadcasting these, like, the transmission as they're going over the stuff, it becomes, like, very apparent. Like, the material is somehow been smuggled from Mussolini and the African front, all the way from there to the ports in Tokyo and Nagasaki, because it's, like, raw vibranium. And so this is now obviously like something that we need to get Captain America in on. So we've got Cap called out of, he's in the middle of a fight in Europe, and he's like, I don't know, he's going to be doing the coolest possible thing. I can't decide if he's like somehow bouncing his shield off of an entire car full of Nazis while riding a horse, or shooting a rocket that Bucky hangs onto, and then like bicycle kicking everyone in the room like Liu Kang. They're in the middle of something together. It's going to be Cap and Bucky, and it's specific because I don't think I can strongly write Bucky as a character into the dark that I want this movie to be tone-wise, and so we'll get some good stuff of like him being that kind of Kevin Smith Robin where it's like quippy and very tongue-in-cheek and very like knows that they're great and silly, and so it can come out that way. He gets the call. I definitely want Tommy Lee Jones to be the general that's involved in this, but he gets word of an assignment. This will have to be like a, I don't know how you'd fit into the MCU. I'm sure you could. I'm sure it's possible, especially with all the post-Endgame stuff, but you know, it can be a standalone. I have a large number of Captain America graphic novels, and a lot of them are stories that are completely one-off, independent tales of heroism. Most of them are like super American and super patriotic, and I love it. And some of them are about like the Iraq War and Vietnam. I don't care. Captain America is a character who's great, and I enjoy it. But he's as simple as easy to say. He's an objective to strive towards. I mean, he is the pinnacle of success and righteousness in any given situation. So it's really interesting to take that and put it in different situations. I read the Marvel Now Castaway and Dimension Z series, which I read 1, 2, and I think number 3, which takes Cap completely, not out of his element, like out of fucking everything. He gets put in this weird squishy rock dimension where like just geometric shapes fighting Nazi-created goo monsters and stuff, and then eventually, like at the end of it all, he kind of adopts his son and then raises him to be like, I don't know, I guess like him, but only Steve is like Steve, so it's, I don't know. I didn't keep up. They lost me a bit, but they had me at the beginning because I'm willing to follow him and Cap to different adventures. So you take him and you put him in stuff. It's great. So we have Cap. They finish up their battle. He heads out. I mean, how he gets to the island, kind of yada yada that. But they drop him in, and he meets up with this group, and it's very much a continuation of thematically of that montage that we all love in the first Avenger that want more of, slash is not sufficient to be a movie, so it needs to be more of. So it's a lot of great squad fighting and dynamic teamwork and strategizing, but there's also a strong fear element, and there's a lot of the unknown, and people do die. A lot of the squad die, some unexpectedly internally, some like transform into like hideous mutant monsters, and it'll be very graphically shocking, I think, in the facility, like within the limits of being respectful. Anyway, so that's something interesting. I think at the very end of it, the point was either in the facility or who had helped in a major role in it. You're going to discover, like, I think this facility explodes and they have to jump in the water, and somehow their Cap sees a light. They swim through an underground kind of tunnel that they notice is lit, and it comes up to this rocky area. And I wanted to originally have this as the sort of first act, but I think it stands better, not that I'm trying to build a sequel out of it, but I think it stands better to discover this later. But you notice some of the victims that have escaped the facility and then had like jumped into the water are actually Atlantean, and they're mermaids. And the one that sort of like, you notice like when they come in like bandaging somebody up, but then gets up and has like a sword and something, you know, like he's clearly like the leader character is Namor. And Namor the Submariner would be awesome to bring in, not just as a as a character to have in the Marvel Universe, but he was a classic Invaders character, the one of the first teams Captain America ever played on, which is Cap and Bucky and the original Human Torch, who was an android, and the Namor and the Submariner, and there was they had a big roster. They had a woman who could run very fast or something. I don't know, I have a great Avengers versus Invaders comic that really really does a great job showing some of the less known ones and the costumes. That's a great read. But yeah, I want this to be a World War II story that's kind of spooky. It's got some horror. It's got some fear elements to it. But it's also very much a Captain America story. The good heart about heroism and teamwork, fighting racism and adversity, and it's definitely going to be historically accurate whenever possible. And yeah, man, you throw Submariner in there somewhere. I think maybe that first time they raid the facility or something, they free him. Get him in there. You open up Atlantis. I'd love to see Marvel's take on that DC-dominated wet world. Yeah, so I'm going to probably leave it there. We're going to have, I think we're going to have some updates soon on Fallout DLC, because I'm almost done, I think, with Nuka World. I bought Nuka World and Wasteland Workshop, so one gameplay and one building play games. And so the idea is, see which one I like more, what I wind up doing. Nuka World so far has been fun, but like anyone who has, some OCD and some organizational issues, when you play Fallout, you have to, methodically take and sort all the crap. And especially, if I go to a new place and there's new stuff, especially, legendary star swag, I gotta take it back home, man. My Sanctuary, it's called Sanctuary, I don't think you can rename it. Not only have I mentioned, the Platinums, so this is good, I believe this is, a swag-level town, but I have, I would say, one of, every item, every food stuff, every medicine, gun, armor. So when I walk into a new area and people are wearing, bird masks and gorilla pants, I gotta have it, I gotta take it back, gotta sort it, archive it. I guess that's when I realized I'm an archivist for a living, so that's probably where that comes from, but... no, it's a good amount of new stuff, a lot of cosmetic things. There's a storyline that I don't really care about, mostly because if you give me a society run by raiders, I'm automatically going to hate all these people, because my character is karma good, and my city is supposed to be the rebirth of cultured living and civilization in the wasteland, not these are three different flavors of murderer, which murderer are you favorite with? So, I'm going to explore it more. I don't think, to be fair, I really don't think I've given it a thorough playing, because I sort of wandered into the gauntlet, I think it's called, and just totally treated it like a grocery store, disarmed all the mines and explosives, and just put everything in my bag without fighting. And then I eventually ran into, I think his name's Coulter or something, Coulson, the guy in the mech suit in the bumper car arena, and that took some stabs. I'm at very high level in the game, so I figured to not make this DLC a breeze, I would go in Clint Eastwood style, I call it. You just go in with you gotta dress cool for it, but I mean, the item you wear is kind of up to you, but you just go in clothes, one gun, couple stim packs, you go in with what you could have in your pockets, and from there, I mean, for me it was great, because the first time you roll in, you can take over that gunner encampment, so my guy is just decked out in, combat armor, look like if the Green Hornet was wearing scout armor, Space Marine scout armor. I went in there with, I don't know, some frag grenades and basic weapons and stuff. I did not have enough. There was not enough zhuzh to kill that guy on the first try. Because a lot of people, I'm watching some playthroughs and stuff, a lot of people are rolling in there with this is my fat man that fires two projectiles at once. It's well, This is my single frag grenade and silenced my pistol. But eventually I knocked him down, and pretty much it's just been me going to these different groups, but I don't know, maybe I'll get hooked in more. Apparently there's, like, locations like zoos and a Wild West town, and that's part of what I love so much about, like, exploring the Commonwealth, was there was stuff like that. So if that's even half as interesting as it sounds worthwhile. And I gotta get Far Harbor, but that's an extremely long commitment from the sound of it, but it could be nice when it's done. Yeah, probably gonna leave it there. I was actually at a filming yesterday, but I don't think I'm allowed to say anything about it, so I will not, but it was cool. It was actually in my neighborhood, so I got notified through, like, my work channels of, like, filming the location manager network of what's going on. And then I just punched in what the address was because it seemed so familiar, and it was like there were two sites at two churches, and my house was square in the middle of it, so it was funny. Just kind of did the rounds between them. But more on that later, I suppose. For now, I'll probably leave it there. I've got work to do. I suppose I'd be remiss if I didn't include a story about my son. He's developing well. He's sleeping a little more, which is nice. He's the cutest boy I've ever seen. And he's very into a show called The Wiggles. Wiggles is a strange show. Lots of children's songs, lots of good-natured vibes. Lots of primary colours. All the shirts are a very bright colour. And the wee lad sits there and watches and falls asleep. Nods his head off. He'll be holding him for 4 hours. He'll be claiming just absolutely unhappy, complaining the whole time. You put the Wiggles on for 4 minutes. Relaxes the boy. They're playing Fallout yesterday. My wife's got him there sitting on her lap bouncing. She's saying it's too violent for him to turn it off, it'll make him upset. Sitting there thinking, if that boy's upset by Fallout now, it's the smartest baby in the world. That's when he chooses to sort of throw up on his arm. And I laugh about it, so I don't think he knows specifically what's happening in the game. Also makes you kind of wonder what they see, what they think about. The idea that, I agree with her, some stuff maybe is not great for babies, but the amount of things that they can process and pull out of it, I don't really think at the end of the day at this age makes if there's a difference. I'm going to show him Schindler's List, he's not going to be looking at it, thinking it's sad, it's going to be sad because it's grey and there's sad colours, but if I show them, I'm going to find a colourful sad movie. Yeah, a murder movie with clowns. Probably enjoy that. Actually, that's a... I'd think the movie It... A murder movie with clowns. For some reason, not the first movie that came to my head was not It. It was that it's one on Netflix that always comes up, and it's got one of those really gruesome posters. Yeah, if I agree that maybe a game where there's constant gunfire and things like that is not great. Maybe there's more to meets the eye of it, and it promotes violence, or it at least gives a immunity or a desensitization towards certain things and sounds, but I just really don't think he would be capable of being upset by something that he couldn't even fathom understanding. And I think that if you showed him the movie It, or similar, where there was sufficient colors and stimulation, but the tone was horrible and there was death and murder, he would have no idea what he was seeing. I guess, developmentally, I don't know where his eyes are at either, so... I mean, he can track movement and things, but... No, he's adorable. He's at that age where he's, like, super cute and a little bit more, like, aware of being, like, existing. Being existing. But he's still very much like a floopy baby who will get mad very quickly, if not fed, when once. When once, when wanting. It's been a long day, guys. A long Wednesday. If he decides he's hungry, there's like the shortest amount of time between the like passive crying of like, to the absolute death screech. And it's just, I mean, that's how I feel when I'm not getting the food that I want, but you keep it inside, Arthur. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. I will catch you next time. And, if you can find any copies of, I was watching a playthrough of Shadow of Rome. If you can find that, I will explain next time. That's the greatest game of all time. But if you, there's a Empire Dawn of the Modern World copy lying around somewhere, then I recommend you play it. You put down what you're doing. You leave your job. You sell your pets. You just take your laptop and move to a desert somewhere. Sufficient battery pack and Wi-Fi stick. No, actually, you don't even need the internet. You just you need the CD, so make sure you have one of those. And give that game a try. All right, guys. Till next time.